Good morning, Nick. Thanks for joining me for this interview today. And I know we're looking forward to you speaking at SpeedHeels 2020 in June soon, but I kind of want to introduce you to the audience so that people get to know you even before the conference. You have a very impressive resume, and you've been with the University of Victoria for many years now. As the professor for mechanical engineering, am I correct?
Right, yeah.
Now you're actually the acting chair for mechanical engineering as well. But the other role that you have, that's really what brought us together, is your role as a director for Victoria Hand Project. Yep. Would you like to tell us a little bit about VHP?
Sure, yeah. So Victoria Hand Project started a number of years ago in 2013, 2014, mm-hmm. As a research project in a laboratory. But once we started to trial the devices with people in Guatemala, very quickly we realized this is something people could use in their lives, and we became a nonprofit. So Victoria Hand Project officially started as a nonprofit in 2015.
Mm-hmm. And how did you find I would say patients in Guatemala rather than other locations? Like, what is the connection?
Yeah, no, the connection is like most things, a kind of a funny story. We were playing around with 3D printing, as I was alluding to earlier, as early as 2012, 2013. And we decided to attempt to 3D print one of the prostheses I had made in my master's during 1999-2000. And what happened was we eventually came up with something reasonably good. And the moment came when we were applying for funding, and there was a phenomenally interesting grant from Grand Challenges Canada to help people in the developing world benefit with health technologies. And so we thought, well, why? Why don't we try what we're doing here with 3D printed hands with this opportunity? And we identified a lot of need in Guatemala. And that's kind of the beginnings, the kernel of what eventually grew into a trial in Guatemala with about 12 patients.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think there is a whole generation of people who really want to get into 3D printing, especially in the medical space. The people who, I guess, enable community is one of those group of people who can really symbolize this movement of trying to provide almost a point of care 3D printing solutions. What is the timeline between Enable Community and Victoria Hand Project? I know you guys are relatively younger, but is there any overlap? Like, what's the relationship between the two?
Well, so if you're talking about the Enabling the Future or Enabling Community Foundation, they got involved at a very similar time. There's many people in that organization, and eventually we partnered with Enable Community Foundation quite early, back mm-hmm. in 2016 when we went to Haiti with them, and they had a grant opportunity to go and help Haitian people with limb loss, and we're still there. They eventually became LimbForge. And about a year and a half ago, LimbForge actually got amalgamated into Victoria Hand Project. So we continue to deploy those systems mm-hmm. through our network. It's ongoing, and it's still working, and it's great. I guess your other question is how people can become involved if people aren't in 3D printing. Yeah, of course. So we have, if you can imagine, for lack of a better words, it's a form of a apprenticeship. We always welcome volunteers, but we slowly graduate them from step to step based on their talent and their learning to get more and more deeply involved in the design of the devices. And right now, as you can imagine, volunteering is a bit tough because people can't physically come to our laboratory. Mm-hmm. Because a big part of 3D printing, as you may well know, is design, build, test. And that piece of the build test is a bit difficult when you can't print stuff. So,
Yeah, well, in addition to volunteering, I would also add that we will add a donation link to Victoria Ham Project at the end of the show notes. The other thing I have a question about, and I think audience would want to clarification, is Victoria Ham Project is more for upper limb, hence hand in the name of the organization. But LimbForge is more the lower limb. Is that correct?
LimbForge, I think they were mostly upper limb. There's a number of organizations, though. They were thinking about lower limb. There's NIA Technologies. They are a wonderful organization, and they're focused on lower limb sockets for kids. Mm-hmm. And I actually think that is a very pragmatic approach, because the forces and the weights involved with children are far lower. And I think 3D printing sockets have a big role to play there. Mm-hmm. It's not something Victoria Hand Project does. And I think there's others throughout the world working on it. And I would encourage anyone on lower limb sockets for kids. Mm-hmm. Once you get into the adults, the forces involved, it's much more challenging. And so that's still a developing area. Mm-hmm. I could just think off the top of my head, so many different people working on socket technologies. So it's a big area, and there's a lot of room for growth.
Yeah, and that's why I love 3D printing, is because there's so much creativity that's going into it right now that can impact humanity. You guys went through various versions of your designs, and there are a lot of science and testing and all that went through. You want to go over a little bit on the technical aspects?
Sure. It so happens that I actually have one of these hands. I want to show you something. This here is it's not the very first, but it's the third hand we ever made back in 2014.
Wow.
And I keep it on my desk because I like to, I like to play with it every once in a while. The design has evolved a great deal from this. Now, this design initially was based on my master's project at University of Toronto in 1999. Mm-hmm. And this was originally aluminum and Delrin, and it was very expensive to make, which is why we wanted to experiment with 3D printing this, right?
So this is not 3D printed. This is
3D printed.
Oh, it is 3D printed.
This is 3D
printed. Pretty well polished. Looks.
Yeah. And you see, a lot of people think that 3D printing can't do very fine detail. It can. The problem with this hand is it takes about 30 hours to print because the settings are so slow and fine, right? Whereas the Victoria hand, although we've received some criticism, we print it quickly so that it can be done in a matter of, several hours. And it's much more durable. We print it at a setting that maximizes durability as opposed to good looks. Because there's different settings you can use. And then we paint the Victoria hands. And I think they still look really good.
Yeah.
So the design has evolved a lot. And right now, Michael and I, we're very excited. We're working on a new design. Victoria Hand, I want to say this. This is really important for anybody who listens about the Victoria Hand, who follows us. You can even see the very first one has metal in it. There's metal screws, there's metal springs, and there's metal pins for the fingers. And that keeps it compact. Where those high forces, they need metal. And over the years, we've worked really hard to minimize any metal parts. But about in November of this year, Mike and I sat down and we thought hard and we said, what is the weakest link in the Victoria hand? And although this is a very old design, like I said, this is almost 6 years old, just inside the fingers, there's these little tiny, tiny pieces, even to this day in the Victoria hand. And we said, you know what? It's time to change that. And what we're doing is we're using another rapid prototyping technology that's been maturing, mm-hmm. which is laser cutting. Mm-hmm. So we've got several pieces now that are just laser cut out of stainless. And we're just evolving the Victoria hand. We make the best of 3D printing in the fingers and the palm and that beautiful 3D printed wrist that can be made in no other way, and our 3D printed socket. But those critical pieces, we are just refining so that we really make that hand strong. That's an exciting development that's coming up in summer of 2020.
I look forward to it. Yeah, I mean, not everything is about 3D printing. 3D printing is a great tool, but it's just one of many tools. Like you said, there's other digital manufacturing tools out there that people should consider as well.
Yes.
So I know that you guys had a lot of good news and you've been growing steadily over the years. And now you're covering 8 countries, is that correct? 8 developing countries.
8 developing countries. So here we go. I always have trouble, but so we've got Guatemala, Ecuador, Haiti, Nepal, Cambodia, Egypt, Uganda, and Kenya.
I got to find a good acronym for you to remember. And it's going to keep growing. So
right. Yes.
So, I mean, obviously in these countries, you know, where the resources are very limited, this kind of prosthetics product would be very helpful and is essential almost. It's not a gap stop kind of. And do you see that eventually this form of prosthetics would be more mainstream? I think there are amputees everywhere in the world. You know, that includes Canada, that includes US. Can this kind of 3D printed prosthetic eventually go into mainstream and help people everywhere and not just countries who have limited resources and can have a lower cost solution?
Yes, it can. Victoria Hand, from our foundation, our core mission is low cost, absolutely the minimization of cost. And even those fancy parts I was referring to a minute ago, we designed those over several months to minimize their cost. And so the idea is, if you can produce a low-cost device for the third world, you know, why not bring that care here to, you know, North America or developing countries? And Victoria Hand, with the cooperation of University of Victoria, we received a big donation from the TD Ready Challenge. That's the Toronto Dominion Bank, and we're going to be helping amputees in the United States and Canada over the next 3 years. But people focused specifically in underserved communities, those people that just simply have no means, they have got no health care coverage or are very underinsured.
Yeah.
They're not able to afford an upper limb prosthesis. So it would be for that target demographic. So we are working on that.
That's good to know. I didn't know that's what the grant was for, actually.
Yes.
So that's a giant step forward for sure. Well, thank you so much, Nick, for the interview today. Everybody who's listening or watching this video, please follow Victoria Hand Project on Instagram, Twitter, and basically all the social media. And I know that you're going to share more stories about Victoria Hand Project during June, the June conference, 3D Heals 2020. So I very much look forward to it. Thank you very much, Nick.
Okay, Jenny, thank you so much.